Third John, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the sake or for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name.
We're finishing up 3 John, our short series on 3 John. I'd like to just ask you, as you reflect over your spiritual life, and for some of you, it's been a long journey. For others, you're recently saved. Who is the person or people that have had the greatest impact in your spiritual life? Maybe it was somebody that led you to the Lord. Maybe it was somebody who discipled you in your new faith. Who are the people that you have been looking up to as you've made decisions in your life, as you've turned a different path in your life to be faithful in your service to the Lord? Who have been those instrumental people impacting your life? As I try to even answer that question, for myself, I was thinking about that. We were in Pennsylvania for several days at a family get-together. I was thinking how I would even answer that question. And I couldn't answer with just one person. I would name my parents first and foremost as having a spiritual impact on my life and their godly testimony and their faithfulness to the Lord. But I also think of my pastors, my senior pastor, who is my only pastor until I came here 23 years ago. He had great impact in my life. And also my youth pastors and other pastors that helped mentor through the pulpit and teaching ministry. And just watching and observing their life and their character certainly impacted my life. Some of my Sunday school teachers, some stand out more than others. But all of them had a mentoring, teaching ministry, and certainly were very important. But I also think of my peer group. Through the various courses of my life, whether I was a teenager, an adult, there have been peers that I have watched, that I've observed, sometimes by just observation, and wanted to copy that character, or I've heard them speak and testify of the Lord. It would be interesting to hear your story, to survey the congregation today. We don't have time to do that. I don't think you want to be here all afternoon, but to hear your story of people that have been very instrumental in your life. I believe a survey like that would show us how important a Christian testimony really is. How impacting people's lifestyle and their testimony. The title of this morning's message is different than we earlier reported when we made the sermon schedule. The title of this sermon is The Importance of a Christian Testimony. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of having a good Christian testimony. Paul reminds us about that, and this is not our text, but familiar verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation and purity, in charity and spirit and faith and purity. I got it out of order. But we are to be an example of the believer. As we conclude this short series in 3 John, I'd like us to review three major characters, and we're going to focus on one man, one verse, Demetrius. The letter was written to Gaius. We're not sure where he was living, somewhere in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Perhaps a faithful layman in an unnamed church. He is noted for his unselfish spirit, his sacrifice, his spirit of hospitality, taking care of itinerant preachers, missionaries, as they traveled through that region. A man who stood for the truth. A man that they warmly regarded as a beloved son in the faith, that John regarded as a beloved son in the faith. In contrast, John warns us about Diotrephes, a man who loved to have the preeminence, who was showy, who was dominating in his disposition as well as in his actions and his deeds. And that leads up to verse 11, which reminds us in verse 11 that we should be careful about those people that we might imitate. Notice verse 11 once again. And it's quite possible that John was using Demetrius as a good example and using Diotrephes as an example not to follow when he says in verse 11, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, maybe thinking of Diotrephes, but that which is good, as he's about to name Demetrius in verse 12. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Some strong words there at the end of verse 11, and we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Perhaps John was speaking to Gaius here, instructing him. He was faithful, sacrificing, hospitable, but maybe easily led astray, liking to imitate or follow other people. And the word follow not literally means imitate. Do not imitate evil individuals, but imitate God-fearing, godly individuals is what he is saying. And as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, a quote from John Stott, who said, it is natural for us to look up to other people as our model and copy them. Who are we copying? Who are we modeling? And a third question, what are we modeling for other people? What kind of example do we give? What is our testimony like? Well, as we look at verse 12, we find Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record or testimony is true. The name Demetrius occurs twice in the New Testament, here in 3 John and then also in Acts chapter 19, verse 24. I don't think we're talking about the same Demetrius. Demetrius in Acts was the silversmith that caused a stir, a riot against the Apostle Paul's preaching. Why? Because people were being converted and he was losing business. That is the Demetrius of Acts. And he stirred up a riot against Paul because people weren't buying his silver statues, his idols anymore. This Demetrius perhaps was the one who delivered John's letter, this third letter, the shortest of his letters, to Gaius and to the other recipients at that church. He is perhaps even an itinerant preacher himself or teacher, but he delivers it to Gaius, commending Gaius for his hospitality and also now commending Demetrius to Gaius. And in verse 12, John gives a threefold affirmation about Demetrius, about his good testimony. First, we notice that Demetrius had a good testimony among all men. We see the phrase in verse 12, Demetrius hath a good report of all men. So first, he had a good testimony among all men. This had to include, I would imagine, believers as well as non-believers. Clearly, people saw something in Demetrius' life, his character, his actions and his deeds that was far different from Diotrephes in his domineering disposition and his evil deeds and his gossiping that John very carefully warned about and condemned. This phrase here, he has a good report of all men, is speaking about his testimony. People in the past, as well as the present, had testified of the example of the godliness of Demetrius. He had lived as a consistent testimony. The very verb here indicates the testimony was given over a long period of time. He had established himself well, and there was still validity to his testimony. It wasn't just short term, but it was a long term testimony. And in reality, our testimonies are developed over a long period of time. Our character is observed by our neighbors, by our co-workers, by fellow church members over the course of time, as people can see the consistency or lack of consistency in our lives. Now, this phrase here, hath a good report, can be translated to speak well of, to have a confirming knowledge of, to speak approvingly of. His life matched his confession. It's easy to give lip service that we know the Lord, we're followers of the Lord, but do our lives confirm that? And Demetrius' life confirmed that. He must have displayed the fruit of the Spirit in his life of a true Godward testimony. He must have displayed the changed life that Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Paul seems to use hyperbole here when he says, of all men. All people? No, would we say, well, there's a certain group of people that think highly of me, but maybe not people at work. Not the people that I do commerce with, because I can be stern, I can be rude, I want my way. And it doesn't matter what kind of testimony, because they don't go to my church. They'll never see me at church. They never know that I'm really a Christian. But Demetrius showed this character to all men, probably referring to all who came into contact with him. His widespread testimony was known by all who knew him. You know, it's easy for us to make a good impression here at church, isn't it? When we're with our church family. But what are we like outside these four walls? What are we like 24/7 throughout the week? What is our testimony like? Demetrius had a good testimony among all men. I'm reminded, and a vivid reminder of what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3. One of the qualifications for a pastor is, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. Not just those in the church, but those that are outside the church. And I know that's the standard for pastors, but shouldn't all of us have a desire to have a good report of those that are without? Someone once said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and much sharper than the ear. Fine counsel can confuse me, but example's always clear. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. Certainly, our walk is vital and important. What kind of testimony do you have in this community, at your workplace, at school, wherever you go? We notice, secondly, here in verse 12, that John also says his testimony was based on the truth itself. His testimony was observant for all to observe, but it was based on the truth itself. We see that in the middle of this verse, that it was confirmed and of the truth itself. Yea, and we bear record. The truth confirmed that he was living a Godward, godly testimony. His reputation was affirmed by the truth. And a key word is a three-letter word, the, or the. It is talking about the whole body of truth embodied in Scripture, the Word of God. Not just a truth or a portion of the truth, but Demetrius was a godly man who was seeking to live in the whole counsel of God and not just a portion of it, not just a portion that was easy for him. As I look at my life there, over the course of my life, there have been struggles with this or that, and I'm not here to do confession. You're not my priest, and I confess those to the Lord, and you don't have to come to me with your confessions either. We can, thank goodness, go directly to the Lord. Amen? We don't have to confess our sins one to another unless we've violated or offended somebody. We need to be willing to go to that person. But as I look at the course of my life, you know, I know there have been struggles. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, I'm doing all right in this area, but not this part of Scripture that Scripture condemns or points out. Well, maybe I don't struggle with this area. I never had a struggle because it's never been a temptation in my life. But I know I am temptable in other areas. So there are real struggles. And that's why we need to commit ourselves totally to the Lord, to faithfulness and abiding in His Word and His presence and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, it is the truth that bears witness. It is easy for us to get caught up with the shifting sands of the world's philosophies. The world has changed a lot in my 50-plus years. And what is right and wrong. I mean, it has changed dramatically. And I have to be careful that I don't get caught up with the shifting tide of opinion. But stand on the truth of the Word of God. And Demetrius' testimony was based on the truth, on the Word of God. It's easy for us to kind of just quote the verses that appeal to us, and this is our section, but then another section of passage of Scripture where I struggle with, we may want to ignore. And occasionally, I've even had people say that claim to be believers, well, Pastor, I know this is wrong for me to do, but I'm still going to do it because this is what I want to do. They'll even listen to me talk about a passage of Scripture. And this hasn't happened recently to anyone here that I know of. But, over the course of years of ministry, people will say, I know this is wrong. They don't want to stand on the truth and bear witness to the character of the Word of God. That wasn't Demetrius' case. His testimony was based on the truth. And the basis for our actions, for our behavior, our character has to be the Word of God, has to be the truth. Thirdly, we notice in verse 12, Demetrius' testimony was recognized by the Apostle John. As we said earlier in this series, John was probably the last living apostle. Very elderly. This is probably close to the end of the first century that he wrote this. And as the elder, he calls himself the elder in 2nd and 3rd John, a term of respect that the people probably delivered to him. John recognized that Demetrius was a godly man. He gave personal affirmation of this good report. The apostle provided his stamp of authority. He says, we bear record, using a plural we, perhaps recognizing others who had observed him as well as himself. But maybe it was just an editorial we, as sometimes I even say we when I'm speaking about myself, and you may do the same thing. But to have an authority like John had to be an encouragement to Demetrius as that affirmation. And we shouldn't go looking around for the praise of God-fearing men and women. But it does accentuate, it does help. And maybe if you have questions, we ought to turn sometimes to our friends, godly people, elderly people who've walked this path before and say, how is my testimony? Am I exemplifying Jesus Christ? And if they give affirmation, praise the Lord. Or if they point out an area of weakness, say, I need to heed the instruction of a God-fearing man or woman who is challenging me about my spiritual weaknesses, about my character, about my conduct, about my conversation. We have the affirmation of the apostle bearing record. They could trust this elder statesman's words, the last living apostle. And John says here in this verse, you know that our record, our witness is true. John was used by God to write 5 books of the Bible. What a wonderful testimony. In one short verse, we read about Demetrius. But let me ask you this morning, what about you? What kind of testimony do you have here at this church? In the community? What kind of reputation do you have? What will your life be known for? Will you be remembered as a Gaius who showed sacrifice and hospitality, who helped God's work out? Or will you be known as a Diotrephes with a domineering disposition whose deeds match that domineering spirit? Or will you be known like a Demetrius with a consistent Christian testimony? The Bible reminds us how important our testimony really is to those around us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, ye are the epistles of Christ, or the letters of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. One skeptic once offered this challenge to Christians, show me your redeemed life, and I'll be inclined to believe in your Redeemer. But what he was saying is, show me the truth, the reality of salvation, and then maybe I will believe. Alexander McLaren, who was a Scottish preacher, once said, the world takes its notions of God most of all from the people who say they belong to God's family. They read us a lot more than they read the Bible. They see us. They only hear about Jesus Christ. But they actually see us. What kind of impressions are you making on people today? Parents? Are you molding your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are you showing consistent character and a testimony when kids see us with our hair down? I say that to grandparents. Young people. There's somebody even modeling you in the youth group. What kind of role model are you to others? What kind of example, young and old? Godly behavior is very important. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 reminds us to keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. They may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent, Peter writes. Behavior speaks of our conduct, of our daily routine, of how we live before others. Keep it excellent. Excellent speaks of something that is winsome, attractive, fine, noble. A character that will be pleasing to the Lord and even speak well of God before others. He uses the term Gentiles in this verse, that it is excellent among the Gentiles, and what he is speaking about is the lost world, not just Gentiles versus Jews, but to the pagan world, the world that needs to see and hear the Lord lived in our lives. It is something that we need to manifest. The lost should be able to see consistent Christianity in our lives, faithfulness in our church attendance, faithfulness in our Bible reading, faithfulness in our witness, in our prayer life, and on and on. Now, so many times our neighbors, when I was growing up, would look shocked if there was something that happened and we were sick, or would not go to church because they noticed the car always left the same time every Sunday morning and Sunday night. I don't know. I never saw them watching us, but they observed even our comings and goings on the Lord's Day. And said volumes, even a testimony and opportunities to share our faith. So how do we maintain a godly, consistent testimony? It's tough. There's struggles in our life. I'm going to close here. I'd like to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Familiar passage. But a reminder of a couple important principles. Hebrews chapter 12, just to remind you, chapter 11 is the chapter of faith, the heroes of faith. And it reminds us of all these examples. And really, we should look at the examples in the Bible and say they've also been a good testimony to us, have influence for the gospel of Christ. But the writer of Hebrews says here in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe that cloud of witnesses is talking about chapter 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have all these examples through Bible history and examples in flesh and blood in our lifetime, and many right here at our church that have been godly examples for you and I. We have that great cloud of witnesses, and I believe two important instructions. There's one combined here with the word and. Lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us. What defeats me from having a godly testimony? When I allow sin in my life, unconfessed sin, it weighs me down. It's like a track runner trying to run a race, but he's got weights on his legs and his arms. Now, they may do that in training to build up their muscles, but when they're in the race, they don't want that weight. Our sin can weigh us down, defeat us, keep us from a godly, faithful testimony. And secondly, we need to run with patience. The Christian life is a race. And you may not like to run, but it is a spiritual race. It is active. It is daily. Sanctification is a process of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a growth experience where we ought to be conforming more to the image of Jesus Christ every day. So what kind of testimony do you have at school, young people? At work, men and women? In your neighborhood, with your neighbors? Have you gotten in a fight with them? Have you been rude to them? Have you shown loving hospitality? Have you reached out to them when they're hurting? It can be an open door for the gospel. Now, let's remember that our gospel witness must also not only just be our character, but in word. A person isn't going to be saved when I go to my neighbor and mow his lawn when he's on vacation for him. I still have to go to the next door neighbor and knock on his door. I have to have him over for a barbecue and share with him the gospel. He may appreciate my conscientiousness, my hospitality. They may appreciate what I've done for them if I shovel their walks in the wintertime. And those are all good things, but I still have to take time to share with them the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Testimony plus the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is a great vehicle for evangelism, but we must go. We must share. We must tell them that God, in His glorious grace, will provide a peace that passes all understanding to those who will truly understand and recognize that they are lost sinners, will confess that sin, and turn with full faith to Jesus Christ and believe in Him as their Lord and Savior. I gave you just the gospel in a nutshell, and probably when you're talking to your neighbor, you're going to have to take more than 30 seconds to do that. And there's going to be a lot of questions. But we ought to be active and engaged about evangelism. Tonight you're going to hear a sermon about a primer on evangelism. We're trying to do that once a quarter here at Maranatha on a Sunday night. Just priming the pump and giving instruction in biblical passages that point out the importance of the gospel, that we are here for a purpose to reach a lost world. And how active and engaged are we in doing that? And we see here from Demetrius a reminder, a refreshed reminder here, that a testimony is important to others, to the impact that we will have on our children and our grandchildren, on our friends and our neighbors, our co-members here at Maranatha Baptist Church, as well as the lost around us. During World War II, missionaries Herb and Ruth Klinging and their young son spent 3 years in a prison camp in the Philippines. In his diary, Herb recorded how their captors murdered and tortured some of the prisoners, starving some of them to death. Particularly was a very evil commander of this prison camp by the name of Konishi. He was hated and feared more than any of the other guards, any of the other men who were in charge of this prison camp. However, before death could strike their lives, God gloriously rescued them when General Douglas MacArthur and his forces liberated them from captivity. In fact, that very day, Konishi had plotted to gun down all the rest of the prisoners. But MacArthur got there before he could do that. Years later, Herb and Ruth learned that Konishi had been put on trial for war crimes and was hanged. But they also heard this message. Somewhere along the way, Konishi, in observation of the testimony of these missionaries, knew they had something he was lacking in his life. Yes, he had been a very evil man, but he recognized by their godly testimony during the torture in the prison camp, he became a believer. I'm not sure how somebody presented the gospel, but he was ready and ripe for the gospel and was saved. Their example became the means of Konishi's salvation. What kind of example are we giving today? What kind of testimony do you and I have? Shall we bow our heads and